Shalom, we are on. Let me just turn on the recording here. Okay. We are finishing off the story of the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Bet, in Rav Kook's Enaya commentary. And just a quick review of the story. The Gemara tells of a man who didn't have money. His wife died, and he didn't have money to pay for a wet nurse to nurse his baby. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle, and the man himself, was able to nurse the child. And the question is, why? And the Gemara says, first opinion, is how great this person is, that God did a supernatural miracle just for him. And on the other hand, the next opinion says that how bad is this person, that God had to change the laws of nature for this person. And today Rav Kook is going to deal with a very interesting question. Why didn't God do a natural miracle? God, most of the time when he answers our prayers, he does it through a natural means. This guy who didn't have money to pay for a wet nurse, he could have found money, he could have found a sponsor. There are so many natural ways that God could have solved the problem. And that is tonight's question. And I'll already mention that we're going to be doing two paragraphs tonight, Dalet and Hey, because the punchline is really in Hey. Okay, let me just, I see three people are in the waiting room. Here we go. Okay. So the Gemara reads as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda, bo ure kama kashin mezonotav shel adam shenishtanu alav sidrei breshit. See how difficult parnasa is. See how difficult it is to make a living. How God, especially after the curse of the Adam and Chava, that Adam has to, by the sweat of his brow, he will earn his bread. See how difficult that is, that God had to change the laws of nature for this guy to be able to nurse his own child. Why didn't God just, again, give him money in his bank account or a sponsor? Okay. Amar of Nachman, Tida. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't go into share screen. Here we go. We are into share screen. Okay. Tida. Ditrachish Nisa velo Ibru Mazoni. We have seen many cases that God changes the laws of nature, like in this case, but he doesn't rain money into this guy's bank account. Rashi, I brought for you, Teda de Kashin. You should know that it's difficult to make a living. Dimitrachish demarachshin nisa min hashamayim lekamat salot lenefashot adam. Sometimes God has made many miracles in order to save people. Velo ibrimozoni, and he doesn't just give them livelihood. In other words, there's something weird going on here, that God will change nature in order to keep nature the way it is. Do you see that? God sometimes will change nature in order to keep the nature of the curse of parnasa, of sweating in order to make a living. Okay, so that is the question, and the punchline today is going to be in the second paragraph, but we'll just see the first paragraph. A little. Source number two. Hanes yase bifratim. Sometimes God makes a miracle for individual people. Ubidvarim amyuchadim sheinam mekifim et klal hachayim. And again, for individual people, that it doesn't encompass all of society. God does not want to change the economy and the laws for all of society. She'tu'udat ha'anagah hi b'yesod ateva chok elyon ba'olamo. There are different laws of nature, and Rav Kook calls this a chok elyon, one of the higher superior laws that God decided he is not going to change, even when it has to be changed, is the law of that it's difficult to make a living. V'chasher nishkol inyan echad be'erko, imu inyan klali sh'ra'uy u'lamod b'tivo, o chelek echad prati shu mityaches le'inyanei anisim shem noadim lechelek mechelkei amtziut, לפי תכונת כל אחד מהם, וייחוסו לתכלית הנצרך מאותו המאורה של הנס, צריכים אנו להבין כי ענייני הכלכלה הם מסובכים עד מאוד. The idea of Parnasa is very, very complicated. Now, anybody who works for a living knows that this is really true. And again, the story of the Gemara here, where God could have solved the problem through a more natural means, is just stressing the point that, again, God does not want to change the laws of nature, and he'll even make a miracle in order to keep the laws of Parnassa, of making a livelihood difficult, to keep that as a klal. Now, maybe we'll just fill in a little Kabbalistic background, that we know that Adam and Chava, if you look in the Pshat, we just read it in last week's Parsha, if you look at the terms used, it says that when Chava, when Eve saw the forbidden fruit, it says that chi ta'ava hu le'inayim v'nechmada etz l'mareh v'tov l'ma'achal, it uses very luring words, that she was very attracted to it, and she had a desire for it, and it was very good in her eyes. And in the Kabbalistic sources, they say that the main sin of Adam and Chava is that they went for the short-term pleasure, for that which is desirable for the eyes, that which she had a lust for. And as a result, the first punishment was that there's less long-term pleasure. That man who was supposed to live forever now is going to die. And not only that, that the way to get pleasure is not through, it's not easy. In other words, the whole idea of short-term pleasure is good for children, it's for immature people, right, who they want all the candy and they want it now. But as a person grows more mature, he should be going for long-term pleasure. And this is the lesson that the Kabbalists give, that Rav Kook is also explaining here in the background, that that we should remember that according to the pain, the gain, right? That don't look for an easy way out. This is what's called in the Zohar, and the Ramchal brings it, Nahama de Kisufa, the bread of shame, where a person, theoretically, could go out and be a beggar and just have people give him food, but he's not going to enjoy that. Just like if I have 10 fruit trees, 15 fruit trees in my backyard, even though those fruit trees are not as professional as the fruit that I will buy in the grocery store, for me, it's more tasty because I invest the time and the effort. And that's one of the ground rules of this world, especially since Adam and Eve sinned by going for the short-term pleasure, because lahavdil, anybody who was ever gambled in Las Vegas, I've never gambled in Las Vegas, but they say that if you play poker, if you gamble and you lose money, the only way to make your money back is by doubling the ante, and that way you can make your money back. And the more money you lose, the more you have to double it. And on the one hand, you're getting yourself deeper into trouble, and that's what happened with Adam and Eve, that where they went for the short-term pleasure, in order to teach them that short-term pleasure is not the key to happiness, what Hashem did is he doubled the ante, he doubled the kupa, that you have to go for long-term pleasure, and that there are no free meals, And you have to, if you want children, it's involved the pain of pregnancy and the pain of raising children. And if you want food, you have to work and sweat. And all of this is to teach us, anybody who's been around knows that the source of our greatest pleasure is our children, but they're also the source of our greatest pain. Because where we have pain, that's where we have pleasure. And that is what's playing here in the background, why God is not willing to change the laws of that it has to be difficult to make a living. And again, this guy in the story, God made a miracle that he was able to nurse his child, even a supernatural miracle, in order that he shouldn't play with the laws of livelihood. Okay? And jump down to paragraph Gimel. Al kein mezonotav shel adam muchrachim liyot kashim. This is one of the ground rules of the world. Maybe we'll just go back to paragraph Bet. Vasidur she seder adon kol masim baruch hu b'olamo. Shiye koach drishat ha-kalkala, koach dochef v'rodeh b'chlal ha-chaim. Here Rav Kook is very clearly corresponding with Karl Marx, who says that the dachaf, the drive, which runs history, is the economy. Now Rav Kook is going to say that Karl Marx doesn't realize how true he is, but on a spiritual level, as we're going to see. So let's jump down to source number 3, which is the next paragraph in Einaya. This is Perek Hei, Seif Hei. And on the source sheet, it's source number 3, for those who have it. Amar of Nachman, this is the continuation of the Gemara. Again, this is Shabbat Nun Gimel Amud Bet. Teida dit rachish nisa velo ibru mezone. Again, we have seen that God sometimes will make miracles in order not to put money in our bank accounts, in order not to put food in our refrigerator. Hazdarim ha-mekusharim b'chayei ha-chevra l'aspakata kalkala v'hamtza'ata. Right? The way that things are mekusharim, that they are complicated, they're complex in society, in order to run a kalkala, a national financial situation, economy, right? Thank you, that's the word. Livad ma shematzanu otam mesubachim ve'ne'eragim ze im ze. Aside from the fact that economy is very, very complex, right? Even if God wants to answer my prayers and give me a good livelihood. Say Mizrad HaChinuch, the Ministry of Education, is going to raise salaries. Well, maybe the other teachers don't deserve it, and I do, or vice versa. Because that's complicated, right? Also, if a person has a business, right, and you gain, according to the laws of business, that usually is at the expense of your competitor. Now, why should he suffer? In other words, if you move one thing, everything else moves. It's just like in health. As soon as you take a medicine, so you have side effects. And that affects this, and that affects this, especially my father, Zichron Ali Vercha, when he was older. Every small thing throws everything off, because everything is holistic. Everything is one organism. So Rav Kook is stressing that national economy is very, very complicated. Bahamona inyanim harabim, with many, many different aspects and factors. Shebechaye ha'aguda ha'enoshit. Again, economy is a national thing. It is, notice, the word kalkala, the Hebrew word for economy, is from the word klal. It's very interesting. Until I learned this paragraph, I never noticed that. That it includes the whole nation. It includes the economy as a national thing. I kind of lay the commentaries right at the end of Parshat Bechukotai, where if we do mitzvot, the Torah says we're going to get rain. And why rain? Well, rain is a national reward or national punishment if there's a drought. Now, God does not rain just into my yard. Right? It's going to rain into the whole city or the whole area's yard. In other words, God has to take everyone into account when he's running things financially. And here, notice that it's not just ha'aguda enoshit, that everyone in my generation and in my locale and my economy is financially connected. Va'agudat, and today, and we're going to talk about this, Rav Kook is going to talk about that in the modern world, is just going to become more and more and more globalized. Right? That what's going on in China or in Russia affects the American economy as well. And what's happening in Iran or in the Ukraine is affecting the whole world. And it's a one-way street. It's just going to get more and more that way, that finances are complicated. But that's in the whole world. And also, va'agudat ha'chayim mirosh ve'ad sof. Rav Kook says, it's not just your generation, right? The idea of finance goes back many, many generations, right? God started making oil, right? Thousands of years ago, you know, it takes centuries to make oil. And why is it in Saudi Arabia and not here and not there? And why does Russia have it and the South and Houston? And here you can grow cotton and there you can't grow cotton. And everything is, these are historical questions. And there's more you think about econ. Maybe somebody who deals with a businessman knows these things. You know, it's like ABCs of economics. But I'm not a businessman. And until I started thinking about this, I didn't realize it really is very difficult, very complex. Hine tzrichim anachnu la'avin sheyesh leze te'uda musarit gedola. Now we're getting to the punchline. The reason why God does not want to make finance easy, he doesn't want to make livelihood easy, and he's willing to change a lot of different things in order, sometimes even to make supernatural miracles, and not in order not to change the laws of finance, is because there are lessons that need to be learned. שיהיו הדרכים של השגת המזון דווקא בזה האופן. The world that we know it today has to run through the sweat of our brow. And again, what's playing in the background is the idea of the bread of shame, that there are three levels of pleasure. God wants to educate us not to just go for the short-term pleasure. We've spoken in the past about the marshmallow experiment, right? That the children who knew how to control themselves to wait 10 minutes to get that second marshmallow, those was the 70% of the children who 30 years later were unbelievably successful financially, socially, family, right? Because that's one of the secrets of the world, right? To forego short-term pleasure, you know, wait till 6 hours till you eat your ice cream. Wait until the right time of the month till you have intimate relations with your spouse. Sometimes you just have to wait to hold the short-term pleasure, to go for long-term pleasure. So this is third-class pleasure. This is long-term pleasure is second-class pleasure. So what's first-class pleasure? Eternal pleasure. Okay? And this is what Hashem wants to educate Adam and Chava, that if you really want to enjoy life, don't go for short-term pleasure, and don't even go for long-term pleasure, right? Your career and money, etc., etc. But connect with Am Yisrael, that's eternal. Connect with the Torah, that's eternal. It's not just in this world, it's in the world to come, and it's not just in this generation, it has ramifications hundreds of years from now. These are eternal concepts. So always go for the eternal, and that is the lesson of this idea of the bread of shame, of not having pleasure. I always remember that when my kids, when they started coming out with the video games, Pac-Man was the first game, and my boys were competing, you know, who gets the high score on the machine. And one time my oldest son, Netanel, I saw him, he just kept eating all the strawberries and cherries and he never got out. And I said, oh, you really got this game down pat. He says, no, it's not. I got the password from Sophia, his first cousin. I still remember the password was God, G-O-D. Mm-hmm. If you type that in, you press password, then you never get out. So he got to 1 million, 2 million, 10 million, 20 million. But after about a half hour, he stopped playing. I said, why did you stop playing? That's what I wanted to teach him. He said, it's boring. Because if there's no challenge of getting out, you have no pleasure. That's the pleasure of jigsaw puzzles. That's the pleasure of crossword puzzles. If it's too easy, we have no pleasure. And the same thing with livelihood. God wants us to have pleasure, not just short-term pleasure like Adam and Chava went for, to go for long-term pleasure. And eventually, first-class pleasure is the eternal pleasure. And that is when we hook up to eternal pleasure, then we will stop dying because we are connected with the eternity. And that's what the world to come and the revival of the dead is about, that eternal pleasure. Okay, so Rav Kook continues. So Davka, it has to work this way. Paragraph bet. V'chasher tachlit hanisim b'chlalam hilamid et matzav hamusar v'amamad haruchani b'chlalo. Hooray, the whole goal of miracles, when God makes miracles, he does it for our good and to make the world a better place. Now, if the way the world is going to become a better place is by sweating through the brow, then we're beginning to understand why that is a law that God is not going to change, at least in the world as we know it, right? And that's a red line. Okay? Shu yisod ha-musar la'adei ad, bitgadlo vitromamo. These are eternal ideas. Bitgadlo vitromamo al ken rachok hadavar shivga anes b'shinoi advarim amyusadim le'etzem tachlit ha-musar. If the whole goal of sweating to make a living, that is the main goal of life, of the world, and if the goal, even when God does miracles, it's in order to make us better, more idealistic people, so God is not going to give one law at the expense of the other. He's not going to do away with the laws of nature just to help this guy. Adrabba, he'll better prefer doing a supernatural miracle like this man who was able to nurse his child. Al ken me'at yishane Hashem yidbarach et ha-bechira enoshit al pines. Sometimes God will change, make a small miracle, even maybe a supernatural miracle, in order not to contradict the law of livelihood, of sweating. Mipnei shekol yisoda talucha nisiti la'amid et ha-bechira chofshit al matzav elyon v'nisa. And here Rav Kook is touching on one of the punchlines. In addition to everything that we mentioned from the Zohar and from the Ramchal, right, what's the idea of nature as opposed to miracle? We spoke about this last time. Nature is better because it leaves man free will. When Am Yisrael was taken out of Egypt and God was splitting the sea and doing the 10 plagues and super everything supernatural and the man is coming from the sky and the Be'er and the pillar of cloud and the pillar, if everything is supernatural, Am Yisrael did not have free will at Mount Sinai. Obviously, they had to accept the Torah. And that's how the Maharal explains Kafalim Har Kigigit, the Gemara in Shabbat, Daf Pechet, that God held the mountain over us and forced us to accept the Torah. What does it mean he forced us? Through all these supernatural miracles, we did not have free will. Now, what's the problem with not having free will? As we learned in the past, the Rambam says that is what life is about. The whole idea, without free will, there's no reward, there's no punishment, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no redemption, there's no anything. The whole idea of free will is that I could choose right and succeed, or I could choose wrong and fail. In other words, that's what sweating is about. That's what the world as we know it is about. And not only that, we have to mention that free will is independence. And this is something that we learned together in Orota Tshuva, that Rav Kook stresses that life and mankind is a constant arrow, with an open arrow at the top, to become more and more independent. Because God is totally independent, and we want to become more and more godly. Right? God does whatever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants. And as we mature in life also, we toilet trained, we become independent, we can cross the street. But at the beginning, our parents don't let us cross the street alone. God wants to teach us, teach mankind, slowly but surely, to make decisions for our own. And that's why when mankind was primitive, God did supernatural miracles. But he wants us, slowly but surely, to become more and more independent, more and more free will, more and more godly. There's Rabbi Yitz Greenberg says that the climax of Hester Panim, of God hiding himself in exile, was in the Holocaust, where the Jewish people understood that if we want Mashiach, we have to bring Mashiach ourselves. Don't wait for God. If we want a Jewish army, we need to set up a Jewish army. If we want to revive the land and revive the language, we have to do these things ourselves. In other words, in order to get to the War of Independence and the Independence Day of Tashach of 1948, we had to learn not to depend on God, right? Ima, mommy, isn't around anymore to help us and to tie our shoes and to cross us the street. And we're now, we can now be godly. We now have a higher level of free will because there are less miracles. And again, so that is one of the things, one of the aspects of nature, of the laws of nature, the laws of livelihood. Okay, להעמיד את הבחירה החופשית על מצב עליון ונישא, ואיך ישונה ערכה ותכונתה בעצמה, והיא המרכז של כל הניסים עצמם. Right? Even when God does a miracle, it's to help us understand how the world runs. והוא הדין שכל דבר היותר קרוב לתכלית המוסר והצדק, יהיה הנס יותר רחוק מגבולו. כי לא ייתכן לשנות את התכלית והמטרה עצמה, כי אם את הגורמים ואת הדרכים. Maybe this is the time to jump down. This is a Gemara that we mentioned in the past, but now it's a chance to see it inside, where Rav Kook alludes exactly to our topic. In the source number 5, for those who have the sheets, in Masechet Brachot, Daf Hei Amud Bet, just do the Gemara orally, Rav Huna had a tragedy. He had 400 barrels of wine go sour and turn into vinegar. And he asked around, he said, you know, why did this happen to me? And they said, well, maybe you did something wrong, maybe you didn't pay your workers, etc., etc. Anyway, he did tshuva, and he apologized. And to make a long story short, God solved the problem. And what did he do? Ika da'amri, there are those that say, hadar chala vavi chamra, that the vinegar turned back into wine, so he could sell it for a good profit, like it should have been. The Ika Damri, but there's another opinion, Iyaker Chala Vizdabim B'Demei Chamra, that vinegar, the price of vinegar, rose so high that it reached the price of wine. And Rav Kook in his commentary, this is Einaya, chapter 1, paragraph 38 in Brachot, Rav Kook says there are two types of intervention. One way of intervening is more supernatural as far as the quality is concerned, right? To turn wine into vinegar, that's the way of nature. To have vinegar turn back into wine, that's already changing the laws qualitatively, the laws of nature qualitatively. So that's the first opinion. The second opinion is, no, that how did God save Rav Huna? By making the price of vinegar rise. And this, Rav Kook says, is a second type of intervention.
Micro against macroeconomics.
Yeah. Where God changed maybe the stock market, or the micro, aval hu gadol bekamut, but this is a lot more complicated, right? To change the price of vinegar in the entire country, that's, you know, that's, you got to pull a lot of strings. Sharehu tzarich litpashet al harbe inyanim.
Or it affects a lot of people as well.
It affects a lot of people, it has a lot of factors, and you have to make sure that this guy gets what he needs, and he gets what he needs, and everybody's getting exactly what they need. Ad shi yagia shit yakera chala b'dmei chamra v'sfir le'elik edarin. That's the second opinion. And what Rav Kook is explaining now is the second way, that when God intervenes financially, it is going to be within the laws of nature, because he wants us to work hard, and that is a red line that he doesn't want to change. Why? Well, we already mentioned the idea of the bread of shame that brings pleasure. We mentioned the idea that God wants us to have free will, right? That we have to work hard. That's another important point. We're going to finish off now. Let us see another couple of short points. A paragraph Dalid. Again, we are going back to Piskah Hey. I call it paragraph Dalid. Al Ken, mitrachesh nisa bidvarim, acharei she'en besiduram ni'itza shel yesodot klaliyim she'atzlacha enoshita klalit nishenet aleihem v'lo ibru mezoni. Again, Rav Kook is explaining the Gemara that God will maybe even make a miracle in order to keep the laws of finance the way they are. Ki tluya atzlacha enoshit davka al pi adrachata b'zeh hamatzav. Because the success of mankind depends on the sweat of our brow. It's built into the system that God wants us to have to worry about our finances. Even wealthy people worry that they won't lose their money. Even wealthy people can have the stock market fall. Even wealthy people who have so much oil, somebody else can find a lot of oil, and that changes the price of oil. In other words, God wants us to be on our best behavior. Because even if you're wealthy, you need God on your side. And all of this worry, v'agbarata kolchot la'kel et haspaka yedei avoda va'amal. Again, what is the goal of man? Lo'ovda u'lishomra. He was put in the Garden of Eden to work. And after man sinned, he had to work that much more. Right? A higher level of work. And this is just setting the ground rules for us also to help tzedakah, to help those who don't have, those who are working and worried and are not succeeding. So the haves have to help the have-nots. And again, this is, the Zohar says famously, that people mistakenly think that we give tzedakah because they're poor people. But the opposite is true. There are poor people in the world so that we can give charity. In other words, this is all part of the tikkun of helping mankind be better. As soon as there's tacharutiyut, as soon as there's competition, it's that much more challenging to be honest, to be straight, not to hurt the other guy, not to steal, to pay your taxes, right? All of these things are all of the laws of Choshen Mishpat. Right? One quarter, one of the four books of the Shulchan Aruch is the laws of money. And the laws of money didn't apply in the Garden of Eden before we sinned. And all of these are opportunities for us to grow spiritually through our money, through helping those who don't have in society, through maybe what Professor Allman found is what the win-win situation. Maybe look for a way that you and your competitor can both succeed. And this is going to bring us to the final point in paragraph A. Alkei mitrachish nisa velo ibru mezoni. Maybe we'll just skip down because we're running out of time. Rav Kook mentions that this is the role of Am Yisrael, right? The Gentiles don't have so many laws of economics, of Choshen Mishpat, of Tzedakah, like we do. Skip down to four lines from the end of paragraph A. Et ha-tochnit shel ha-tzura yoter mutzlachat v'retzuya l'tova ha-yoter me'ule. Ve'ubeisir sibat chipus ha-kalkala shemiyusa davka al-pi sidura tivi ha-kavu haba. Yufsak chas v'shalom, right? If the red line of sweating economically would to stop, chas v'shalom, yufsak ha-koach shel ha-shalshelet ha-gdula hazot shel kishur bnei adam v'ashlamatam, that man would not need each other, and we would not be able to complete ourselves. Now, what is Rav Kook referring to here? We have to remember what we learned together about 20 dapim beforehand in the Gemara, where the famous Gemara on, or is it Daf Lamed Gimel, of the Rabbi Yehuda praised the Romans that they built in the land of Israel, they built bridges and a marketplace and bathhouses. And he praises the Romans. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, on the other hand, says, what are you praising the Romans for? They were just doing it for themselves. And Rabbi Yossi was in the middle. And Rav Kook explains that obviously if all three opinions are in the Gemara, that means that there is a time and a place. There is truth in each one of the opinions. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was worried about keeping our distance from the Western world, not to be influenced by the Gentiles and the Western culture, etc., etc. That's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, he was talking about in the end role of Am Yisrael as the light to the nations in a global world. And this is something that we've learned about before. That globalism, Rav Kook writes, that the world is going to be one big family. And even in one family, you need a bechor. You need a firstborn to set the laws. And he is the light to the nations. And Rav Kook beautifully explains, how is globalization going to take place? It's hard to believe that he foresaw this already 120 years ago when he wrote it. He said, first of all, what is bath? Highways, bridges. Rav Kook says that is modern transportation, is going to make the world into a global village. People are traveling from China to the Soviet Union, business trips here, business trips there. The second is matbea, the economy. That the world economy is going to become one, and that is going to force mankind to work together and to have peace, because the economy of America and the economy of China and the economy of the Soviet Union or Russia and the economy of Israel are interconnected. And the third one, bathhouses, that is world health. And Corona helped us understand how the world, everyone had to run and work together and to look for a vaccine. And as soon as we found the vaccine, to sell it here, to sell it there, because if we don't solve everyone's problems, it's just going to keep coming back through this tourist or that tourist. And in other words, the globalization of the world is connected with the economy that we're talking about. And that the way that we should fix the world is through economy and through this win-win situation, that if it's good for Israel, and maybe eventually it'll be good for the Arabs, and they'll realize that they have more to gain than to lose by fighting with us, right? That eventually, so the world as we know it, again, let's just jump to the end. Alken, Yishtanu, here Rav Kook does a classic Rav Kookian thing. Yishtanu, he is going to bring a pasuk, which summarizes the whole idea, with a totally unique and innovative commentary. Al ken yishtanu dvarim acherim. God is willing to change this and change that and change this and change that. But seder hateref yiyeh lichok kavua. That the laws of, you have to sweat to make a living, the laws of finance, of the economy, that is the last law that he's going to change. Why? Because, as we've said before, just to summarize, we mentioned the idea of the bread of shame, that the laws of the world are based on, according to the pain, the gain. We mentioned that according to the sweating of the brow and the difficult to make a living, that is gives us free will. And we also mentioned the idea of choshen mishpat and the laws of money and damages and staying honest and dealing with your competitor. And what Rav Kook is doing again is he is taking what Karl Marx said, says that yes, it's the economy and the need, economic needs, which make the world go round, but in a spiritual way. And he mentions also in this context the globalization, that we mentioned. And here Rav Kook comes with the punchline. V'seder ha-teref yeh l'chuk kavua. Notice that the word teref literally means to devour. That is another word for livelihood. Minalan and Neher Rav Kook is quoting a Gemara Masechet Beitza. I brought it in source number 4. My mashma dahai chok lishna demizone. Where do we get this idea that chok, the law, this eternal law, is your food? Dichtiv, as the pasuk says at the end of Breshit, vachluit chukam asher natalem paro. Right, paro in the time of Joseph, he gave each one their portion. Portion, chuk, is referring to food. Marzutra mar mihacha hatrifeni lechem chuki. But what's the message? Rav Kook is saying, dechuk lishna demizonehu, that the law that is most untouchable, that is most unchangeable, is the laws of finance. God will change everything except for finance. Dichtiv vatiten terif leveta. Right, even the negative aspects of finance, v'chok l'naroteha. Chok is something that is eternal, that will never change. Food will never change. And it's such an ingenious explanation, innovative explanation of this pasuk, that only after these couple of paragraphs could we understand a new, totally innovative understanding of this pasuk.